Good morning.
Good to be back in church. Got a little rough last week. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Hoping and praying a few more will be here this morning, because we'll put you through a test this morning. I don't flunk the test.
Alright, I don't flunk it. We'll put y'all through the test. We're going to discuss what makes a man right before God. Well, there's a bunch of heresy in these last days in the church. A lot of heresy. The field of apologetics. You say, man, that's a hard word. I never heard that before. What? Go over to 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man. The word answer in the Greek is apologia, or apologia. It means to make a defense. Be ready to make a defense for the faith before every man of the reason of hope that's in you with meekness and fear. That's 1 Peter 3:15. The field of apologetics is a science that has been developed within the church, and believe me, you say, well, we shouldn't use that. Wait a minute. Go back to your first church period. Go back to your first 100 years of church history. You'll see the church father using it. You'll see Justin Martyr come up, who was born around, I want to say, 120 A.D., and he started using apologetics. He started defending the faith against the heresies of his day. You look at Irenaeus, who lived around 150, 180 A.D., he was using apologetics against the heresies in his day. So I'm not the first person that ever used the field of apologetics. The field of apologetics defends the faith against attacks from without. But this morning I want to use the polemics. Polemics is a science defending the faith from within. Do you believe there are people right within the church world today who attack the Christian faith? Yeah, of course there are. There's Mormons, there's Jehovah's Witnesses, there's Roman Catholicism, and many, many others who attack the faith from within. Now, 2 weeks ago when I was here, someone stood up right before I preached and began attacking what I had said in a previous service. I want to deal with that this morning. First thing that started attacking was the believing. Do you have to do anything besides believing to be saved? Now, according to that person, believing by itself will not save you, according to them. Now, I can spend the rest of the day and go on into tomorrow and show you hundreds of scriptures in this Bible that show that believing is all it takes to be right before God. Speaking in tongues ain't going to get you saved. Doing gifts and works and miracles ain't going to get you saved. The Bible plainly says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What must you do? You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You must believe in your heart. To add anything to your salvation, the belief alone, the word believe in the Greek is the same word faith. Any words you want to go where Jesus said you got to believe, or the Bible says you must believe, it is the same word in the Greek for faith. You must have faith in Christ alone. Sola fide was the cry of the Reformation. By faith alone, sola. By faith alone are you saved. It's not no work that you can do. You can't add to it. If you add to it, what was said, the man said that believing itself by itself will not save you. You must go on and do other things. Wait a minute. That is apostasy. Faith alone saves you. Faith alone. Another thing was said was many are called, but few are chosen. He's striving to be chosen. Wait a minute. I was chosen when God called me. Some are called, some are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus spoke to me in John 15:16. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Immediately when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about this scripture. I got in here reading, and one day God spoke to me the scripture, John 15:16, that says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Watch this. I got salvation today. Not going to have it 50 years from now, maybe I do some good work and I may get there. I've got salvation at this very moment. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I have it right now. It is a present possession. It's not something I'm striving for. I'm going to have one day if I might make it. If I might get good enough to have it. And we're going to work on that here in a minute. That might get good enough. Are we working for salvation or have we been given salvation? There's a difference. Believe me, and Martin Luther, the great reformer, says in the end, there's only two religions in the world. In the end, I don't care if it's Islam, Buddhist, I don't care if it's Roman Catholicism, and I don't care if it's the Christian faith, people within the Christian church. In the end, there are only two religions. There's one of man, which is by works, and there's one of God, which is by grace. The one by grace is the true faith, my friend. It's by grace that are you saved through faith. God give you unmerited favor. It's not something you can work for. You have it or you don't have it. Period. And another thing that was said was a man could, which I believe with all my heart, this was blasphemy. A man can unseal himself. Once you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you can break that seal. My friend, that ain't what the Bible says. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted. The word trust is not in the original. So it's italicized in the King James Version. You look at it, it's leaning a little bit. I'm going to read it like it says it in the Greek. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed, you were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. When faith came in your heart, God first regenerated you, my friend. You didn't have faith and then receive regeneration. You got regeneration and then got faith. Because faith is something birthed in you by the Holy Ghost. God gives you faith to believe. You can't believe without faith. Without faith, you can't make it. But if God told you, He's going to give you the faith to reach out and believe. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, the Bible says. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God and a fruit of the Spirit. Once God saves you, once God regenerates you, then you reach out in faith. He done it. Some people have had a testimony of sitting back there on the pew, and they got up and they felt the chains roll off. God regenerated them sitting right there. They wouldn't have never got up and come to the altar if God hadn't birthed them into the kingdom and given them the faith to believe. At first, you got to be regenerated. God does that out of His own sovereign act. Watch this. In whom also you, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What is it about? It's about God's glory. It's the praise of His glory. That the glory of the Lord should cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Isaiah said. I think this Habakkuk went on to say that one day the knowledge of the glory of the Lord should cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's all about God's glory. God saves some for His own glory. If it's not grace, then it's denying God His glory. If you're trying to get there by works, you say you've done it, then you've denied God His glory. It's under the praise of His glory. He's working out His glory. He wants people to know His glory throughout this earth. So He gives salvation to whom He will. And it's by faith that they make it in there. Alright? Can a man break the seal that's on him? That's what was said. I believe that was, to my heart, is blasphemy. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Christ purchased a possession. A soul sign is on it. God sells it with the Spirit. And it is His until the day of redemption. The Bible plainly says that. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Until the day He comes to get what He purchased, you are sealed, my friend. You can't break it. To say a man can break that is blasphemy because it makes man more powerful than God. Makes man more powerful than God. Go to Job 38:1. Now see, I used to be a dispensationalist. Dispensationalists dissect the Word of God. They believe this portion don't mean this for this particular people, and that portion don't believe that mean that for that particular person. But let me tell you, I don't believe that no more. I believe exactly what the Reformers taught, exactly what the Church taught. And that is Reformed theology. Much as in Job, I'm in Jeremiah, how in the world to get there? Job 38. Well, man, to say he can break or run, do what God has done is flat out blasphemy. Because he makes himself greater than God. He's making himself God, omnipotent, all powerful. God omnipotent. Job 38:1. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who is girds up now thy loins like a man? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I would demand of thee and answer thou me. Woe of thou when I laid the foundations of the earth. Woe are we at? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Were you there, my friend, when God done all these things? No. So, okay, if God does a divine, supernatural act within your nature, changes your nature, and then seals you with His Spirit, how in the world are you going to break that? Are you more powerful than God? I think not. That's blasphemy. And believe me, I defend the faith. I will defend what the Word says. Like I said, I could go from now until tomorrow and still sit here and quote scripture out of the Bible that says you must believe alone. And it's by faith alone, by believing alone, that you're saved. Not nothing else you can do. Not nothing else that you can do on your own. Now, I'm going to tell you, before we get into what I give you the test, I'm going to show you what the church believes nowadays. The word evangelical means adhering to the faith of the gospel. It's the gospel according to Jesus. It is the gospel teaching. That's what evangelical little means. A lot of people are not evangelical. They do not adhere to what Jesus has said in the gospel. They do not believe Jesus just died for His sheep alone. He came to pay the price for His sheep and His sheep alone. Those that He did pay the price for, He said, those that come to me, I will in no wise lose none, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's evangelicalism, my friend. It's the teachings of the gospel. Jesus is going to keep those who He has saved. They are His. Evangelicalism. So watch this. In a recent poll, 35% of Americans in evangelicalism or evangelical seminarians deny that faith in Christ is absolutely necessary. 35% deny that faith in Christ is absolutely necessary for salvation. They're wrong. Faith in Christ is the doctrine of the Bible. It is the doctrine of the Word of God. What's even more alarming is 35% of the entire adult evangelical population agrees with the statement, God will save all good people when they die, regardless of whether they trusted in Christ at all. 35% of adult evangelicals believe this. Watch this. Pulpit Health says a survey of 7,441 Protestant pastors, 51% of them were Methodists, 35% were Presbyterian, 33% were Baptist, and 30% of them were Episcopalian, did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Heresy, my friend. Apostasy, my friend. Another alarming statistic is that 77% of America's evangelicals believe that human beings are basically good by nature. Apostasy, my friend. Human beings are not basically good by nature. This self-help, self-esteem junk that's in the church needs to be thrown out. It's not a mistake, my friend, that you went to sleep with that man's wife. It wasn't an accident. It was sin. Until we let you know what it is, you won't come to faith. It was sin. We need to get these self-help, self-esteem, building people up in their self-esteem up out of the church. We need to put preaching anthropological doctrine, which is the study of man. We need to get theology proper in the pulpit, which is the study of God. When you get the study of God in there, you understand what man is. Man is defiled, filthy, scum. Let me tell you, he is not worth saving, but God reaches out in grace and gives it to him anyway because he loves what he creates. Until you understand that, you never understand what you've ever had from God. All right, the scripture says man was created good but fell and now has a sinful nature. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, you mean I inherited my daddy's sin? Yeah. You inherited your daddy's sin nature. Have you ever had somebody say you're just like your father? Stubborn? Come on, women, let's give the women a pause today because the women, see, y'all are innocent. It was the daddy that passed on the bad nature of your child and not you. It was your daddy. That's the reason God skipped. That's the reason God skipped the man's generation. That's the generation was skipped. God came and himself conceived in the woman's womb. Why? So that Jesus would not have man's nature. If Jesus would have had man's nature, he could not have been a lamb without a perfect lamb, because he had sin nature. And it wasn't the sin that was an offense before God. It was the very nature that was an offense before God. And God ain't forgave me for just my sin. He's forgiven me for my very sin nature. He declared me not guilty. Not guilty. Another alarming statistic, let's see. Instead of evangelical preaching that man is utterly condemned and helpless as a result of sin and can do nothing to save himself, recent surveys have shown that 87% of American evangelicals hold to the idea that God only helps those who help themselves. And that is just ignorance. The Bible says, when I was without strength, in due time, when I was without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God don't help those that just help themselves. He helps those that can't help themselves. He said he came to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repent. Them that are whole don't need a physician, but them that are sick. And we're not saying man's sick. Man is dead in sin. Now, Martin Luther said, upon this doctrine alone, the church will either stand or fall. You know who Martin Luther is? And then get any little computer, put him in the computer. He was one of the men that come out of Roman Catholicism. And I'm going to tell you, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism, and the Holiness Church of today, and most of the churches of today, is teaching that you must work out a righteousness that will be accepted before God. That is heresy, my friend. We do not work out a righteousness that can be accepted before God. We have a righteousness that will be accepted before God. I'm going to show you that here in a minute. And Martin Luther said, upon this doctrine, justification by faith alone, the church will either stand or it will fall. Upon this doctrine alone, that's what the Bible teaches us, justification by faith alone. Now, go to Matthew 5:20. As long as there's breath within me, I'll defend what the Bible says. I will defend what the Christian faith says. I'm going to give you the test if I got enough time this morning. But I'm going to tell you why I quote the church fathers. Most people think the book of Acts was it. They think the church stopped. There was no more history after the book of Acts. The more, even the Islam Muslims make fun of Christians because they don't know their own church history. You know, the Muslims hate us because the Christian crusaders took land away from them back in the 12th, 13th century. You don't even know that, do you? That's the reason they hate us. Because we took land from them. We walked them in a few battles. Those that called themselves Christian crusaders. I ain't going to say they were actually followers of Christ. But I'm just saying. They hate us because of that. But there was history throughout the church beyond the book of Acts, my friend. That's the reason I quote from the church fathers. Listen to Sir Isaac Newton, one of the greatest scientists ever lived. Sir Isaac Newton, man, said, If I have seen further, it was by standing upon the shoulders of the giants. I can see further, my friend, because I stand upon the shoulders of the giants. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Augustine, you know who I'm talking about? Go home and search it out. Put it in your computer. You'll find out who they are. Listen to Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, God has surely promised his grace to the humble. That is, to those who mourn over and despair of themselves. He surely promises grace too, but listen. But a man cannot be thoroughly humbled. You cannot be thoroughly humbled till you realize that his salvation is utterly beyond your own powers, counsels, efforts, will, and works, and depends absolutely on the will, counsel, pleasure, and works of another. God alone. It depends on God alone. Listen to this. As long as he is persuaded, or as man is persuaded, that he can make even the smallest contribution to his salvation, he remains self-confident and does not utterly despair of himself, and so is not humbled before God. A man that's trying to make one little small contribution to his own salvation will never be humbled before God. I could not save myself. I did not save myself. I did not come to Jesus on my own. God found me in my front yard when I wasn't seeking Him. No man seeketh after God, the Bible said, Romans chapter 3, right around verse 11. No man seeketh. God found me and birthed in me salvation. And then I began to seek. It's by God alone. Sola scriptura, by scripture alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola Christus, by Christ alone. And sola Deo gloria to God alone be the glory. This was the cry of the Reformation, my friend. This was the cry of the Reformation. We are not going back to Rome. Rome says a man must work out a righteousness that is accepted before God. You must work for a righteousness. You're not totally justified by faith, but you got to endure and work for a righteousness that will be accepted in the end by God. That is Roman Catholicism. If you believe that, you're a Roman Catholic. You're not a Protestant. You're a Roman Catholic. The whole doctrine, the whole Reformation was based upon justification by faith alone. We are justified, declared not guilty, and legally made righteous by faith alone. The Bible says this. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 8. Well, wait a minute, I'm trying to think now. Romans chapter 10. We'll get there here in a minute. Let's go over to Matthew 5:20. Most people, and I would to God more would have been here this morning, most people believe in this last day church, they have no sin. Most holiness say they ain't got no sin. Well, maybe they come in a few weeks ago, somebody come up to me and say, do you believe holiness has sin? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe every one of us has sin. Every one of us got a sin nature. Sin or flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit has been born again, and the spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the thing that you would. The Bible plain about this. True nature is within the believer. Watch this. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, man, that's... You say in December, whew. That's it? Man. All righteousness was seized there. They were self-righteous hypocrites. Self-righteous. Man, if that's all Jesus requires, I've got it. Whoop! Let's do it. Let's do the Pharisee test. Let's go on to see what Jesus told them here. Watch. You have heard it was said by them of old time. Why was Jesus saying this? Was it not in the Scriptures? Of course it was. But watch. When they come up out of Babylon, most Jews could not read Hebrew no more. They spoke Aramaic. They could not read the Hebrew text. So the Pharisees got in there and read it for them. And they made spiritual interpretations. They made interpretations of what the Scripture said. That's when Jesus said, you teach by tradition. You teach for commandments, the traditions of men. They made interpretations of what they thought the Scriptures were saying. In the Gemara, the Kabbalah, in the Talmud, in the Midrash, in the Arizona 3B. These were scriptural interpretations of what they thought the Scripture said. So you have heard that it was said. Why? Because the Pharisees were telling the people this is what the Scripture said. They couldn't read Hebrew no more when they come back from Babylon. Watch here. You have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. The Pharisees and them people. Man, I got it whooped. Hey, I was told by my own pastor years ago, the original pastor ever set up under, told me that he knew he was right before God because he was keeping the commandments. He knew he was right before God. Listen. He said, you have heard that it was said, you should not kill. But listen, he said, I say unto you, Jesus didn't change it. He just told them what the Scriptures was actually saying. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, wait a minute, have you failed the test? I'm talking to you today. Have you failed the test? You ever been angry with somebody? Come on, raise your hand in here. You ever been angry with somebody? Jesus said, if you're angry with somebody, you committed murder. You broke the commandment. You committed murder, my friend. Every one of us would be on the way to hell today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Because we broke the commandment, we still do it today. Come on. The Bible's plain right here, my friend. Sin, that sin might be exceedingly sinful, is bringing Jesus came. Right? But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. All right? And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, hey, that means empty head. You ever called your husband or wife stupid? Come on! Not have you failed the test yet. Come on! Shall be in danger of the castle, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Hellfire, my friend, we all break the commandments, and we all have. That don't mean we should sin, but we have, and we do. It is, but we've been declared not guilty. Declared not guilty. Alright? I could go on here. I could go on. You read, go on. I beseech you, go on and read this. You go on down again. He said, you heard it was said in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. You go on down there a few more scriptures. You've heard that, verse 27. You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever lusts on a woman to lust after in his heart committed adultery. So the Pharisees thought they had it what? They thought they were keeping the commandments. But they could lust after a woman and not be guilty. Let me tell you, it was not the sin, it was the very nature. God is not only concerned with our acts, our outward acts, but He's concerned with our very thoughts, my friend. It's the very thought what condemns us before God. And we got people going around in the church saying, this is not, a thought's not wrong. No, you don't act on it. Hey, what did Jesus just say? A thought is just a sinful of the very act. Come on. Now, you can go home, you can go home and search this out. You go on down here. He said it a few more times. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. You go home and read all that. We ain't got time this morning. What I want to show you is what makes me righteous before God. How can I get out of this? How can my righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And this is the last day's church, my friend. This is the last day's church right here. They're just like Israel. Just like Israel. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. You there? Say amen. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Stop. How many people you see trying to go about and establish their own righteousness before God? They've not submitted to the righteousness of God. And they're going about trying to work for a righteousness that will make them right before God. I don't care what religion you look into. Believe me, I've been studying other faiths. My apologetic course through college made me go into Baha'i. Baha'i, you ever heard of Baha'i faith? No. The Free Gun, you ever heard of the Free Gun? Christadelphians, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. There's all kinds of different cults out there, but they all teach the same thing. Even Roman Catholicism, they all teach the same thing, and even in the church today, you've got the same teaching that man must work out a salvation that is going to be accepted by some God. All of them teach the same thing. But watch what verse 4 says. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law, my friend. God required a righteous life worked out of under the law. Not even the outward acts, but the inward acts. The very thought had to be righteous before God. God required that. Christ is the end of that law. He fulfilled that law. If you would have went through the whole law, your whole life, and kept it, then what would have resulted was a righteousness that would have been accepted. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is the end. You've got yourself His righteousness. And by doing that, you do that by justification by faith alone. Go over to Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. Let's go back up to, verse 4. Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul thought himself blameless concerning the righteousness which was of the law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now he's speaking with terms of that an accountant would use. Those things that I reckoned that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. In other words, I found out these things were fruitless. They were fruitless. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Moses said, he that liveth under the law shall do the things written within the law. But what things? Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There is a righteousness that is imputed to your account by faith. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. But Jesus became sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? Now you're starting to understand how your righteousness can exceed that of the righteousness of the Pharisees. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. First Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. The word ye means you. Just old English. That's all it is. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God made him unto us for our stead, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is who Christ has been made for us. Going over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I just quoted 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. Go to Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. Remember, Romans deals with the world at first. There's natural generation, natural revelation. I should say not natural generation, but natural revelation was given to all men. Romans chapter 1, you'll see. Now the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Romans chapter 1, you'll find that the Gentiles were condemned because they did not receive the witness that God had gave them of natural revelation. Natural revelation is that nature itself teaches us that there's a God. I don't care what custom you go into in the world. I don't care if they've ever heard of Jesus Christ or not. You will find them worshiping gods because they have a God consciousness. Natural revelation is not enough light to save them. But the Gentiles were condemned because they rejected the true God and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Then you go into Romans chapter 2, and you'll find out that the Jews had blasphemed the name of God among the Gentiles because in the veil was given the law, and they did not keep it. Nobody can keep the law. Romans chapter 3 tells you this. There's what then? Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and nowise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, none that seeks after God. Many people in this last day church will say, well, he's not a Christian yet, but he's seeking God. I don't believe he's seeking God. Because none seeks God, that God comes on them and regenerates them. God first comes regeneration, not faith. The church has been taught the wrong thing. They've been taught that first you believe, then you're regenerated. No. Regeneration brings faith. Faith is a gift of the Spirit and a fruit of the Spirit. Unless you've got the Spirit, you ain't got no faith. So God's got to regenerate you first. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. No, not one. Going down to verse 19. And I could go back up to verse 18. There is no fear of God before the eyes. The word fear in the in Psalms 19 means reverential trust. No man trusts or fears God. He not put his trust in it. Now verse 19 says, now we know that what thing soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you think you get into heaven through your own righteousness, and you just keep on working out the law. And I ain't saying that we shouldn't keep the law, but we shouldn't work in the law to try to make ourselves righteous before God. God already declared us righteous. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is made known. The word manifested is made known. Being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. When faith comes in your life and you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust in Him and you're sealed with the Spirit, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you. It is a righteousness which is by faith. There's no difference. All have sinned. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith to Jesus Christ, to all and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means a ransom price, a substitute. He was my substitute, and He was a ransom price. But by grace, I've been justified freely by grace through that redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. The remissions of sins that are past, Hebrews mentions this too, that are those who went on to be with God in the Old Testament. Those who got saved in the Old Testament by faith. All right, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He is the justifier of you that believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. You can't boast and say you're working for it because God won't receive it. It's something you've been given entirely by grace through faith. It is not something you've done on your own. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, we don't break the commandments, but then, like I said, even the thought itself was breaking the commandments. But God has justified us, declared us not guilty. Going over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we then say? That Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had word of the glory, but not before God. For what said the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Counted is an accounted term in the Greek. It means to put to his account. Credit to his account. By faith, the righteousness was accredited to Abraham's account that he did not earn. It was the righteousness of Christ. You say, well, Christ hadn't died yet. I said, that's right. You go back to Romans chapter 3, I just read it. For the forbearance of the sins that are past. Jesus was that sacrifice. Every time they offered Old Testament sacrifice, they looked towards, it was a shadow of things to come. Jesus was the actual thing to come. And them things were shadows of it, my friend. Shadows. The ceremonial law and all that was wrapped up in it, Hebrews says Jesus completely fulfilled it. Them things were shadows. Now the moral law passed on into the New Testament. We still ain't supposed to kill. We still ain't supposed to steal. The moral law passed, but the ceremonial laws were completely done away with in Christ, including the Sabbath day. You won't find no man having to keep a Sabbath day in the New. That was a ceremonial law. Jesus is our Sabbath. We enter into His rest. Here's our Sabbath. Go over to Hebrews 4, you'll find that. Watch this. Romans chapter 5 says, Romans chapter 4 says, 4 verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that works not but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Jesus is righteous. Your faith is not the righteousness. Your faith is credited to you for righteousness. Jesus' righteousness is credited to your account by faith. By faith. Now, I preached 2 Sundays ago, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'll close on this, and we'll take a break. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, now you understand. Therefore, being justified, declared not guilty, but legally made righteous in the sight of God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified, declared not guilty, and we've been legally made righteous. We can't work out a righteousness that God will accept. That's the works of the law. By works of the law, there's no plan to be justified. It is through Christ's righteousness alone. And unless you got that righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will no wise enter into heaven. I hope pray you got something out of it. We'll close and let you take a break.